Hello, everyone. You know, Halloween is a very strange holiday. Personally, I don't understand it. Kids worshiping ghosts, pretending to be devils. Things on TV that are completely inappropriate for younger viewers. Things like the following half hour. Nothing seems to bother my kids, but tonight's show, which I totally wash my hands of, is really scary. So if you have sensitive children, maybe you should tuck them into bed early tonight instead of writing us angry letters tomorrow. Thanks for your attention.
Meet you out in the cemetery.
Beaver believers unite. Hooray on the children of the night. Do not attempt to change the channel or the pond water you swim in.
For my ever-growing army of the undead.
Sir, you have to let go of the button.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Hey, Beaver Believers. Welcome to the Timely Beaver House of Halloween Horror.
Hey, how y'all doing? This is Ted again, and today in co-pilot in our lovely Timely Beaver Studios, we have Emily.
Hello, everybody.
And we are coming to you today from Beaverton, Oregon, where it is already foggy and wet.
Very Halloween-y.
And we have with us today as well...
Dave in California. What's up, Ted? What's up, Emily?
Hey, Dave. How's everything going down there with you recently?
Oh, man, it's cold and rainy, actually. It's been perfect Halloween-type weather. Of course, this is going to move out probably within the next couple... Actually, it's supposed to rain tonight, and then it's supposed to be sunny for Halloween. Or not sunny. It's supposed to be nice on Halloween.
Well, that's not bad.
So, yeah, it'll be real nice, so...
Yeah, it was pea soup here today. We had really thick fog that kind of went away in the afternoon, but it was still hazy everywhere. But for the most part, it was like real spooktacular shit going on. So
it was really thick early this morning when I left for work. You could barely even see to drive. It was so thick.
Really?
Oh yeah, you couldn't see more than maybe 10 yards in front of you.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Well, good, nice Halloween weather there.
It definitely was. So we are here. We've been prepping for it for the whole month by telling ghost stories, really stupid, lame ones.
Now we're gearing up for the real deal, folks.
Yes, and we even changed halfway through the month to the Timely Beaver Halloween theme. And today, we even have, if you notice in the picture or whatever, with in the ID3 takes for this MP3, there is a spooktacular Timely Beaver portrait located in there for all your Halloween ghouls and freaks out there. But now, yes, we are totally, totally October ghoul and gross.
Well, we promised it for a month, Ted, so tonight we deliver.
Oh, yes, we do deliver tonight, Dave. Shall we get started on our deliverance of the spooktacular... The terrible, horrifying things that lurk inside.
This is a scary... Then these are all true. These are all from credible people. This is the real deal.
Yes,
so.
These stories, you're going to hear four stories tonight. And all four stories are true stories. Three of the stories I have experienced firsthand. Dave has experienced one of them with me, and it is our mutual story, which we have promised to talk about, which is the Kona Kai story.
Yep, we do have that, Ted.
And we have been promising that for a long time, and this one is, that story alone is the climax of it all, so you gotta stay tuned to the very end for that one. But in the meantime, we got some other stories for you, and one of them I heard from a friend of mine about, she said that she experienced it herself, and so I'm going to relate the story onto you because it freaked me out when I heard it.
Let's tell the story, Ted.
Let's hear it.
Yes.
Good evening. I've been asked to tell you that the following show is very scary, with stuff that might give your kids nightmares. You see, there are some crybabies out there, religious types mostly, who might be offended. If you are one of them, I advise you to turn off your set now. Come on, I dare you. Chicken!
The first ghoul-tacular tale that we were going to bring you to you tonight is called That Shadow on the Roof. It happened to me when I was about 15 years old, I would say, back when I was living in Sunnyvale, California. And for those of you who watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, it is
the Hellmouth,
as Emily likes to call it, because Emily was, as still sort of, a big
Buffy freak.
So she loves her Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Buffy kicks ass.
So for all you chicks out there,
Angel's hot.
I think that redhead's pretty hot. I don't care if she subbed a tuba up her ass.
Which one is that?
The girl on American.
She's also an American
Pie.
Oh, she's the one that. Oh, okay. Redhead. Yeah, there's just one time at band camp.
Oh, she's hot.
Yeah, she's all right.
She's not a Dave
Allison
girl.
Allison Hannigan is her name.
I was going to send you a PowerPoint. I don't know why somebody put this together in PowerPoint, but they put it together in PowerPoint and sent it to me, but it was some images like for all the colleges, like naked women from those colleges. And then they had University of Washington. It was this fat chick with no underwear on leaning over barfing. It was really gross.
Nice.
The barf was still coming out of her mouth. And I was oh, yeah, exactly.
Was that a recruitment tool or what?
I don't know. It was definitely killed my little man tool. I couldn't
have
sex
that
for 10 minutes afterwards. What's up with that?
That's nasty.
So anyways, back onto the story here. So this shadow, I was asleep and I was about 15 years old. Just to give everyone a graphical picture of it, I had the room on the second floor in the very front of the house with two very large windows that overlooked the cul-de-sac where I lived.
Right above the garage.
Right above the garage. And it was there was a lot of easy ways to get up on the roof, as I know from sneaking in and out during my high school years when I was grounded. But it was about 3 o'clock in the morning in the middle of summer. So I had both these gigantic windows, which led right out onto the roof, open, completely open. I had the blinds down so it blocked the street lights, and the blinds closed. So there was just the reflection of the street lights there so I could sleep at night. Well, I woke up and I heard something and I wasn't quite sure what it was. And I remember I tossed and I kind of looked at my clock and it said, and I remember distinctly, it said 3:28 in the morning. And I can't remember what day of the week it was, but I just distinctly remembered the time because that's one thing that makes me think this may have not been a dream. So I roll over, and I hear this cracking of our wooden shingled roof. And I'm wondering, what's that cracking noise? Because I was kind of familiar with that cracking sound myself from when I walked on the roof to sneak in and out. And it kind of crept closer and closer to my windows. And it kept getting closer and closer. And then finally, I started to see the shadow or the silhouette from the streetlight come across my window on the shades. At which point, I'm still not quite sure if this is a dream or not because I was so tired, but I remember at that very moment, I coughed and I rolled over and caused a big commotion in the bed. At that exact moment, I heard this footsteps running off the roof and jumping, most likely into my neighbor's front yard, where I always jumped and left some indents when I was sneaking out. But at that time, my window's open. There's nothing protecting me from, what's outside. And I thought if they had a knife or something, or even a foot for that matter, they could have just, kicked open the blind and come right into my room. Whoever or whatever being wow. That may have been.
That's creepy. So now you're pretty.
So that's
you're pretty sure this was the real deal. I mean, you were half asleep and half awake, but
I'm pretty sure it was the real deal because I was in my bed and I was looking at it. It wasn't like I was displaced.
Yeah.
I was it didn't really have the. It was kind of dreamy, but the situations around it just seemed a little too real.
That's creepy.
It is.
But we're just getting started, everybody. So sit tight. We got more on the way.
So stay tuned. And to keep things moving right along,
we have a band from San Francisco called the Midnight Bombers. And we got a couple tracks. First one we're going to play is...
Sorry, wasn't paying attention. The first song... I'm sorry.
No problem.
She's doing homework on the side.
All right, so let's see. We have the Midnight Bombers with Satan's Children.
The Midnight Bombers with Satan's Children. You can find them at midnightbombers.com. So remember to check them out for all your horror punk needs.
Well, Ted, we got story number two coming up right here.
Presenting for your consideration, Springfield, an average little town with a not-so-average monster. The people of Springfield have to make sure they think happy thoughts and say happy things, because this particular monster can read minds, and if displeased, can turn people into grotesque walking terrors.
Happy thoughts, happy thoughts. Boy, I'm getting mighty sick of this. Ruff, bow wow.
And did I mention that the monster is a 10-year-old boy? Quite a twist, huh? Bet you didn't see that one coming.
So, back to the same house that I just told you about with the shadow on the roof. Now, this one is a little freaky. There's this room, and I know you all have these rooms in your house where it's kind of isolated. It doesn't really belong to part of the house. And it just kind of has this eerie feeling, kind of like some closets do in rooms at times. But we had this long hallway that at the end of the hallway was a bathroom, this room, which we used as a storage room, and then the laundry room. So this room that never got used for anything but a storage room just had this weird vibe about it. Even when you walked in, you could kind of feel some things were just a little bit not right. Emily was there with me a few times, and she kind of got a little taste of it, and Dave, you as well.
Yes.
But I painted in that room in high school when I was grounded, and I painted a lot of weird things in that room. I painted an angel falling into hell, and this is like poster size, 32 by 48 or something, and it was this angel falling into hell. And I also painted this picture of somebody hanging from a tree. And you may be saying, well, those are just, you know, teenage angst coming out. And yeah, in a way, but nothing was freakier than about a year and a half ago when I went and saw my family. And my brother told me the story that happened to him. He was at a rave. And of course, there's a lot of trippers there. But he was at this rave, and this lady stopped. She was walking by him, and she stopped, and she said, "You have a spirit living in your house." My brother's like, "Excuse me? I don't know you." And she's like, "You have a spirit in your house. It lives in a room that nobody occupies." He's like, and he knew exactly right when she said that what room she was talking about. And it was the very same room that I used to go paint in. He said, "I know what happened to that person because her aura follows you because you live in this house." And she said, from what it's telling me, that she died on that spot in a very tormented fashion. What happened, she said, was that her whole family was hung from trees on that very spot. They were hung for trees for blasphemy. And the little girl who haunts that room was only about 8 years old. And she watched her whole family get hung from trees. And then she was the last one hung on that very spot where that room is. At which point, brings back into mind the two paintings I did in that room, which were an angel falling into hell, or basically being tormented, and somebody hanging from a tree. And everyone has a creepy sense or feeling, or you get that kind of tingle up your spine that's kind of eerie.
I can vouch for that room. You go into that room and the temperature drops. A noticeable difference. And it's really a strange feeling you get when you go in there. I was in there after they had just finished remodeling it. They had recarpeted and repainted and everything, and I think Ted had told me that story about, I don't know, a year and a half before I actually went to this parent's house, and had forgotten all about it till I went in that room and noticed how the difference in that room, and then the stories came back to me.
Yeah, it was quite funny because I remember after my brother told me that story, we were at a bar. Again, drugs or alcohol. And he told me that story, and at which moment I felt like I kind of had a connection or kind of a spiritual channel for that person when I was painting that. So that night when we got home, my brother went to bed. I grabbed another beer out of the fridge, I went into that room and lit a candle. And I sat in that room talking to the spirit. I didn't see, hear, or get any reply. But it was very calming for me. And it made the room seem a little bit more calming, even though it still doesn't feel that way. But that moment felt nice. Sitting in that room with the door closed and a candle lit with a beer, drunk off my ass, talking to the ghost, telling it that it's free and it can go explore the world and it doesn't have to live the tormented afterlife anymore.
That's crazy. I mean, yeah, we all have seen that, been in that room and, you know, walked by that room and everything. And that's the real deal, folks.
It definitely is. And let's just keep moving along and let's start off for the next one.
I'm Krusty the Clown and I don't like you. I'm Krusty the Clown, and I'm going to kill you.
Didn't even pull the string that time.
I said I'm going to kill you. You, Homer Simpson!
Oh, yeah? With what?
So this one isn't an experience I had, but this is an experience one of my friends had back in high school, I believe our junior year. She was in the living room and she heard her mom scream and run down the hall and slam a door. At which point she was like, oh my gosh, what's happened to my mom? So she goes back to her mom's room, knocks on the door, and she can hear her mom crying inside. She opens the door and her mom goes, there's an evil man out there and he's chasing me with a knife. And she's like, what are you talking about? She's like, I was down in the laundry room when I got this chill and I looked to my side and there's this black shadowy figure with his hand raised up with a knife in it. And she just remembers that it was just totally horrifying. She screamed and she started running down the hall. She looked back and it was chasing her down the hall with the knife raised in her hand. She ran into her bedroom, shut the door, and it came through the door and like pinned her in the corner. At which point she started screaming and bawling. And then, as I said, my friend came in and she saw her mom curled up on the floor crying, saying that a spirit had just chased her down with a knife.
Wow. Spooky.
It is. But, you know, it's a little bit more spooky than that, Dave.
What's that, Dave?
The original Timely Beaver show. So, anyways, this is the original Timely Beaver. This is our little segment called My Life as a Cat.
My Life as a Cat. I love to rest on the couch, waiting for my owner to come home and feed me. Yeah, it's a tough life I live, you know, sitting here, licking myself, playing with string, eating. People always come over and pet me. I can be bitchy whenever I want, and everybody still loves me. I'm never bored hanging around the house all day. I have tough decisions to make, though, too. Like, which couch to lay on, or whose bed to sleep on. And, of course, which roommate to beg for food. Yeah, I have a tough life being a cat.
We come now to the final and most terrifying painting of the evening. To even gaze upon it is to go mad.
Ah! They're dogs, and they're playing poker!
We had a story to go with this painting, but it was far too intense. So we just threw something together with vampires. Enjoy!
Oh, the chills just keep coming, don't they?
That is right.
You can't stop us on a good freak.
Correct.
You right? Morticia, you keep talking that violently, you keep turning me on.
Gomez, you scared me last night. Do it again.
Yes.
I love
it. I used to watch that growing up. For about a year, it was on TV in the Bay Area.
I'm sorry, but Gomez Adam is one of the sexiest characters ever. He is so hot.
Oh, Morticia.
The way he loves Morticia so much.
Yep.
It's great. Every woman wants a man like that. Everybody wants a man. Who's just going to, you know, be so...
Captivating.
Captivating.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's keep this rolling right along.
Sure.
Here with us again for another awesome song. We're so happy to have him here, brought to us by the PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com and check this band out at midnightbombers.com.
The Midnight Bombers, here with Simpsons.
Ted,
Dave, I'm spooked. I think the moment's finally here. We've been hyping this. Well, we haven't been hyping it, but we've been talking about it about once a week for the last 3 weeks. But it's finally here.
Yes, it is, Ted. It's safe to say we've been propping this this one up for a while, and this is one that you and I experienced. It is just the two of us, and we were both sober and sane at the time. Not that we're not sane now, but.
Yeah, but when are you ever sober now?
That's a good point. Ah, touche.
I'm too drunk.
Oh, man.
I got three.
Cheers. Salute.
That's what we should do on Halloween, is go around to take our beers around and go cheers to everybody.
Yeah. Salute.
Put beers in their bag. Oh, that could be considered giving beer to minors.
Yeah,
at some
that
point.
Could,
why would we waste our beer?
What a waste of beer! Not if it's Pabst
or
Natty
near beer.
Ice. Near beer. Natty Ice.
Natty Ice.
So, Dave, I've told the last three, and I know me and you experienced this one, so I will chime in when needed. But
all right,
would you do me the honors?
Yes, Ted.
Would you take this dead corpse for a bride?
And I will. I do.
This house has quite a long and colorful history. It was built on an ancient Indian burial ground and was the setting of satanic rituals, witch burnings, and 5 John Denver Christmas specials.
Oh, John Denver.
That's odd. Usually the blood gets off at the second floor.
This is called Konakai.
And we have talked, you've heard us talk about our stories at Konakai a few times throughout the Timely Beaver history. So this takes place in that same location, that same mysterious location in Santa Clara, California.
Yep.
Give some history, Dave, on the origins or the folklore that surround Konakai.
Well, I think, Ted, earlier we talked about how there was, I guess, allegedly like a stabbing there many years ago, and there's like I guess the guy's blood was still stained on the deck, and you know, there's been some some kind of weird things that have occurred there. We alluded to one of them too on the other episode, where we heard the pipes turned on, and that normally indicates, you know, water is running through the pipes, and but there's no one there. So I mean, there's just been some kind of questionable things that have gone on there. So, but
and then Mike hearing the cannonball. Then Mike hearing the cannonball. There was also Tony.
Yep.
The big buff Tony crapping his pants.
Yeah, exactly. Just things like that. And I'm sure that
people
there's
running on the roof that they can't find.
That they can't see. And like, they can see the silhouette, but, you know. Yeah, just things like that. So, but just to set the stage,
but
ours
though, tops them all.
Seriously. I mean, because there's two of them. I mean, we both saw it, and it freaked everyone out when we told it, so. But we shall begin, Tim.
Well, begin, Dave. I'm intrigued. My curiosity is piqued.
Okay, here we go, Ted. So this is
I'm percolating.
This was about 10 years ago, and I was, you know, the security guy over at the club. I'd locked the club up, and Ted would come and you know, hang out with me until we left, and probably left about 10 o'clock. And anyways, this particular night, there was just me and Ted there, and We were playing ping pong tennis, which was one of the stories we talked about in the last Tap the Beer segment. And that's basically, you know, you play ping pong on a tennis court, so get a good workout at late at night there. So it was just me and him in the far court, and then in the court that was on another that was adjacent to it, there were two
and
ladies.
These, I'm sorry to interject here, but these tennis courts are set up in an L shape.
Right.
So right next to the parking lot. If you're looking at it on like a north, south, east, west sign, you have your parking lot as your base. On the left side, you have your recreation country club. On the north side, you have the start of the L shape of the tennis courts, which kind of go up a level, then over to them. We were in the far corner of the L, furthest from the parking lot.
Yeah, we were in the far court.
And there were some ladies out there as well.
And they were in court one, I think.
Which was right next to the tennis court.
Tennis court. Or not right next to the parking
lot. Right next to the parking lot.
Yeah, so the way it's set up is there's parking lot, then right next to that is court one and two. And then on the L shape, like Ted was saying, there's court three and four, court five and six. And we were way in the corner. So, and this is kind of secluded, you know. I mean, there's not a lot. There's nothing on the other side of that. Basically, it's a big open field. So anyways, we were playing that, and everyone else had pretty much gone except for us and those two ladies. So we were, you know, we were playing out there, and then we decided to call it night, and we shut the lights off in our court, but and then the ladies were still playing. So we went back, Ted and I went back, and I locked up the rest of the club, and, you know, we were just kind of making sure everything was closed up for the night, and you know, and then the ladies were done playing, so they were just kind of hanging out. And Ted and I are just you know, locking the front doors and getting everything set. You know, got the alarm off, and the ladies were done, and they shut the lights off on their side of the tennis court. So at this point, I punched the alarm, locked the doors. Ted and I walked through the door. And, you know, made sure all the lights were off, verified everything, you know, and then, you know, shut the light off. Then all of a sudden, I locked the door, and the light in the next room, in the room that's right next to the door where you open and close it, it turns off. And obviously the alarm is set, so, you know, that's weird. Now, this is a manual on-off switch, you know, there is no way, there's no motion sensor in there. There's an on-off switch, and so the light switch, as soon as we locked the club, bam, it turned on. And,
oh, and this was instantaneous.
Instantaneous.
It was like he just turned the key, pulled it, right when he turned and pulled it out, that like 2 second motion, it went black.
Bam.
It just is on.
Exactly. And there's just, that was really weird. So that, but that's not the weirdest part. The weirdest part was when we were.
Well, the fact that room had been locked since 2 p.m.
Yeah, that's another creepy thing.
And this
thing.
Is 10 o'clock at night.
But seeing a light flick on as soon as we locked the door, that was spooky. But the weirdest thing was the two ladies that were playing tennis walked up to us and said, you know, what are you guys doing? And we said, oh, we're locking the club up. And she said, well, why did you turn the tennis lights, the court, tennis court lights on? And what had happened was, as soon as we had locked that door, the lights in the tennis court had gone on too. And not only on their court, but they went on our court. So all of a sudden, all these lights go on. So we had to go back in there. Now, I remember seeing this. The light switch was off. We went back in, and the light switch was in the up position. And the creepiest thing of the whole, like, the whole occurrence there, I mean, not only that, you know, these lights were turning on with no one's help, but that was the anniversary of someone who was really popular and well-liked, Konakai, the anniversary of her death.
The one-year anniversary.
Yeah.
That was the creepiest part, because the ladies at the tennis court were friends with her, and they told us that right after we turned all the tennis court lights off and we're all going to the parking lot, they were mentioning that. And it was kind of like, that room's locked. Nobody's been in there for 8 hours. Those lights we turned off, they turned back on. And it just had this really eerie feel over the whole thing, and especially with the Easter Island wooden figurines that are 6 feet tall.
That's true.
Out front of this place, it has this eerie feel all over it.
Yeah, and I mean, there is really, to this day, I mean, that is really probably one of those things. I mean, both Ted and I were right there, and, you know, we saw that with our own eyes, and that was creepy.
It definitely was. Well, there you have it. The tale of the woman who came back from the dead to turn on the tennis court.
Oh, and that one thing along those lines, too, Ted, is that she was a good tennis player.
Was she really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes, she was. She played tennis solely. I mean, like, I think her kids swam, but tennis was her sport. So.
I hope everyone out there has a happy Halloween. You have heard our stories.
We want to hear yours.
Feel free to let us know your spook tales from beyond the grave.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
You can reach us at 206-222-2328, The Beav. Or you can reach us at www.timelybeaver.com.
For all your beaver needs.
Or send an email to timelybeaver@gmail.com. We will respond.
And always remember, or not always remember, always remember you're being watched. The government's watching you. UFOs are real. They'll take you down.
Are you okay, Ted?
Ted has a spaz.
Oh, no.
The government took Ted away. I'm Ted.
In a straight jacket.
I'm Ted.
Hi, Ted.
UFOs do not exist.
Uh-oh.
UFOs do not exist.
Either does global warming.
Thank God Harriet Myers is not going to be our Supreme Court Justice.
Yes, that is not going to happen.
I cannot wait to watch The Daily Show tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Jon Stewart's going to have a field
day
with that.
Oh, yes, he is. And the indictments are coming.
Mm-hmm.
We got Karl Rove. We've got Tom DeLay. We've got
Scooter Libby.
Oh. Did they actually get Rove?
No,
he was saluting the photographers. That was hilarious. Yeah. Man, that guy has the most sockable face I've ever seen. Karl Rove. You could punch him, and you could watch the ripples throughout his, like, double chin go for, like, hours.
Oh, I know. It's almost like, yeah, exactly. That guy's got some... It's almost mesmerizing.
Now, you guys all want a real spook story.
Yes. Look no further than the Bush administration.
Yes, look no further than them. Well, we thank you all for joining us again, and, this has been very fun, and this has been great to share all these stories with you. And I know I've shared them with Dave and Emily before, and it's great to have Emily with us again. It's been quite a while. So thank you both.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you.
And Ted, have a good night.
Yes. Any parting words?
No, I want everyone to have a...
Girls don't poop.
Have a happy Halloween, everybody. Be safe.
Happy Halloween!
And we will talk to you soon.
H-A-double-L-O.
Happy Halloween! Halloween. www.halloween.com. That's spelled Halloween.
Wake up, you pigs!
Look, Ren, a trick-or-treater. He's come to visit us.
Isn't he a cute little rascal?
Happy Halloween!
That's it! I quit!
Look, fellas, I'm a ghost. I've been trying to scare you guys all through this picture. But I'm a failure. I'm a failure. I couldn't even scare a paranoid schizophrenic.
Aw, come on, try again. We'll do better, I promise.
Don't patronize me. It's no use. There's only one thing left to do. I'm gonna end it all.
Sweet Lord, no! Are you crazy, man? You can't do that. Here, do this.